Little more. Little more. Okay. Good. Thank you. So I have a friend here, one of our guests from the East Coast, and he has requested that I speak on this one shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, and he's such a nice devotee that I feel obliged. So first, I want to give some background information, and then the verse is so nice, practically it explains itself. First of all, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Palam. Although there are four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata, Itihasas, still, and these, all of this is thousands and thousands of Sanskrit verses. Still, you take all the Vedic knowledge, it's compared to a tree. So a tree, if it's a fruit tree, has fruits. So the Vedas, the revealed word of God, the knowledge coming from God, there is still the ripened fruit of that tree. And that ripened fruit is Srimad Bhagavatam. Huri sang one line, Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa, Amala, spotless. The glories of the chanting of God's name is spotless. There's nothing holier than God's name. We were chanting for such nice time, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So this chanting is so spotless, it's purifying. Even in the Christian Bible, hallowed be thy name. Yes, and we, followers of Lord Chaitanya, take this very, very seriously. That God's name is holy, yes. It is the holiest thing. And the wonderful mystery, the secret, not that silly book secret, the real secret, is that when you chant God's holy name, you become holy. I was in South Africa this year in August. I was asked to speak at a college youth group. So there were Indian students and African students. So the subject was The Secret Behind the Secret. You've all heard of that book. It was very popular, very trendy for some time, The Secret. So the devotee who arranged the program said, you speak on The Secret Behind the Secret. I said, that's obvious. The Secret Behind the Secret, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Mamaiva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva Nastyeva, Nastiva Gatiranyata. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. So by chanting God's name, we also become holy. That is the whole basis of the Hare Krishna movement, the single foundational principle. Chant God's name, become godly. Simple. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, spotless Purana. 18,000 verses, 335 chapters, 12 cantos, describing the absolute truth in his personal manifestation. The absolute truth has his impersonal manifestation, Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. The absolute truth has its localized aspect, Paramatma, God in your heart. Yes, he's in your heart. But the ultimate feature, the source of the other two, the source of Brahman and Paramatma, Ha, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, the person. Some of Prabhupada's, two of Prabhupada's prominent disciples separately on different occasions, I asked them when I was with them privately, my dear God brother, what was the most significant thing you learned from Srila Prabhupada? You had so much association, so much, months at a time. You spent many hours with our Gurudev. I asked both of these persons, Shyamasundara Das, Harisori Das, what was the most significant thing you learned from our Gurudev? Both of them said that God is a person. My wife has even written a song with that title, God is a Person. So Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful narration of God along with his devotees. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is also very, very special. The Vedas, the Puranas, Mahabharata have all been compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva, Bhagavan Rishi, the incarnation of God in the form of a Rishi, Vyasadeva. So he has compiled, edited, and put into written form with the help of Ganeshji, this Vedic library. And his most scholarly presentation, Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta, the end of knowledge. Veda Anta, the conclusion, the end of all knowledge. That is Vedanta Sutra in code. In code form. Anyone who is a CPA knows there's so many tax codes. Anyone who is a computer programmer, there are so many codes when you write computer programs. And unless you know the code, you try to read these things, it makes no sense. So Vedanta Sutra is written in code form, very difficult, unless one is a Brahmana and has studied Sanskrit and has gone through the Upanishads, 108 Upanishads, is going to find it very difficult to understand Vedanta Sutra, but all is not lost. Because Vyasadeva's guru, Narada Muni, Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni came to Vyasadeva one day when Vyasadeva was not feeling right. Vyasadeva's mind was disturbed one day. He had doubts. He was dissatisfied. So Narada came at that time. And Vyasadeva said, please find out the root cause of my dissatisfaction. This is a very intelligent question. Find out the root cause. And Narada said, yes, your root cause of your dissatisfaction is that although you have compiled all these Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, you miss something. God and his devotees, that narration, especially Krishna. You compile Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the author's own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Again, Vedanta, the end of knowledge. But the author himself has written his own commentary. Therefore, you can't get any better than that. When the author himself writes his own cliff notes or his own commentary, then you know for sure you're going to understand what is being said. Srimad Bhagavatam is the author's own commentary on Vedanta Sutra, the end of knowledge. And what is that? It's the same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishcha sarvair aham eva vedya, Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Krishna says, chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, and if you actually studied the Vedas, your conclusion should be me, Krishna. If you actually study the Vedas, Krishna says, you should come to the conclusion of me. And Krishna says, I know Vedanta. I compiled it. How? In my form as Vyasadeva. So the author wrote his own commentary, known as Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with 10 subject matters. Bhagavad Gita deals with 5 subject matters. But Bhagavatam deals with 10. And the 10th subject matter is called the summum bonum. It's a Latin phrase, summum bonum. That good thing from which all other good things are derived, the source. That is another way of saying absolute truth. The absolute truth is defined as that from which everything emanates, that from which everything is sustained, and that from which everything will enter into eventually. That's the absolute truth. It's a closed circle. Everything comes from it, everything is in it, sustained by it, and everything will again enter into it. So the summum bonum is found in the 10th canto, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In cantos 1 through 9, Vyasadeva scientifically presents to us what we mean by this word Krishna. Everyone say, Krishna. Very good. Sadhana, you said it the best. It came ringing out like a meteor. Very good. So it takes 9 cantos, a few hundred chapters, to explain what we mean by this code word Krishna. Again, everybody, one more time. Krishna. We're getting better. Lord Shiva told his wife Parvati, she asked him, why are you always chanting this name Ram? Shiva said, I chant Ram's name because once uttering Ram's name is the same as chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. Anyone who chants Vishnu, I think you chant Vishnu Sahasranam, don't you? Yes. How long it takes you? I thought. Anyway, who chants Vishnu Sahasranam? You. Okay, how long it takes you?
Half hour.
How long did it take to say one Rama? Yes. So Lord Shiva told Durgaji, I chant this name Ram because by chanting one name of Ram, I get the same benefit of chanting 1,000 names of Vishnu. Hey, I like that. That's called shortcut. Just one. Everyone say Ram.
Rama.
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 Rama. How many times was that? Okay, how long did it take? That was like a few seconds, right? So later on, there's another verse. It says that if you chant this name 3 times, Ram, You get the same benefit once uttering Krishna. So now, when someone asks, hey, why are you guys always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram? Hey, we're not stupid. We know what we're doing. So much. And of course, because whenever I do the high schools and colleges, I always point, we always put the mantra on the board. And I tell, and this, they, the students love this. I even did it in South Africa. That you see, how many Hare's are there? 8. 4 Ramas, 4. So it's politically correct. Because Hare signifies Mother Hara, Radharani. The feminine, and they love it when I say this, the feminine aspect of God. Then all the women's liberals, feminine aspect of God? Oh, I like this. Now all of a sudden they're attentive. That yes, there is the feminine aspect of the absolute truth along with the masculine. And in the Maha Mantra, you have Ram and Krishna, masculine names, and then you have 8 Hare. Everyone say.
Hare.
So she was saying Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe is also Hare. Saying.
Hare.
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 Radhe Radhe.
Radhe Radhe.
We're fired up. See, I think when you dim the lights, it creates the mood. So, we are chanting the holy names of God. So, it takes Vyasadeva 9 cantos just to explain what we mean by Krishna, the absolute truth, and Rama and Hare. Then in canto 10, he starts with the activities, the janma karma, the birth and activities of Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. This is a very important verse. Chapter 4, verse 10. If you're going to memorize any verse, this is one of the best ones. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 9. I made a mistake. Wait, I got to give myself a ding. Chapter 4, verse 9. Krishna says in this verse, very important verse, that if you understand my birth and activities, janma karma, tatvata, in truth, then you're not coming back to Valencia or Torrance or New York or South Africa or where are they now fighting today? Israel and wherever they're fighting. You won't come back. Krishna says, if you understand my birth and activities, you come to me at the end of this life. You come back to me. You don't come back here. So therefore, it is in your best interest to understand Krishna's janma and karma, his birth and activities. And that is what 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 90 chapters, Vyasadeva takes to explain Krishna's janma and karma. You have the prenatal, you could say, activities. Then Krishna's so-called birth, in quotation marks, so-called birth, because he's Aja, he's unborn. So Kunti Devi once prayed, the unborn is taking birth. Huh? The unborn is taking birth. This is Kunti Devi, such a highly evolved living being, Kunti Devi. The unborn is taking birth. That is 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I said there are 90 chapters. There are 3 Leela divisions. It begins Mathura Leela, quickly goes to Braja Leela or Vrindavan. Didn't you say Vrindavaname? Did you not chant that? I was very astute when you were chanting that. And then there is Dwaraka Leela. Practically half the book is Dwaraka Leela. Then the next division, some 35, 38 chapters, is Vrindavan Leela, and then the rest are Mathura Leela. So there's three divisions of Lila. But in those 90 chapters, five chapters are what is called the quintessence. Just like anyone who knows, you can have milk, then you have that kheer, right? When you cook the milk down, you cook it and cook it and cook it and cook it, right? Condensed. And it becomes very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. So the essential cream of the 10th canto are the five chapters where Krishna is dancing with the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani. So those five chapters are the cream. And then, out of those five chapters, one chapter is the cream of the creme de creme. I think, well, she's doing the offering. There's some French term, creme de la creme, the cream of the cream. Okay? So that one chapter is called Gopi Gita. Krishna has his Bhagavad Gita. The gopis, not to be outdone, they have their Gita. Gopi Gita. And it is their song. The song was the night of the Rasa dance. That's why I wanted the... I'm trying to create the mood. The full moon of the Sharad season. The most beautiful night of the year. Krishna knows what he's doing. When Krishna wants to do something, he does it, like she said, pakka. Krishna wanted to dance with the gopis. He picked the most beautiful night of the year, the Sharad Purnima. And Prabhupada remarks that people in India still go to Taj Mahal on that night because the you know what I'm talking about? Yes, the reflections on the Taj Mahal is supposedly very beautiful. So Krishna picked that night and he played his flute, the fifth note. The gopis who were either feeding their children or taking care of their husbands or eating or cooking or bathing or dressing, they were doing so many things. When they heard that sound of the fifth note of Krishna's flute, they stopped everything, dropped everything, and ran. They ran. That sound of Krishna's flute is so powerful when you're on this, what is called Gopi Bhav. The level of the gopis' devotion for Krishna. When you're on that level and you hear Krishna's flute, not just anybody's flute, Krishna's flute, Krishna has several flutes, at least three are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. They are different sizes and they have different, one flute is made out of jewels. So Krishna has different flutes, so I don't know which flute he played that night. But he played the fifth note. It entered the gopis' ears, they went mad. Even someone tried to stop them. No, they had to go see Krishna. And even those who were physically checked by either the husbands or the brothers or elderly members, if they were prevented from going, they gave up their lives. And then in their spiritual body, they joined Krishna's rasa dance. There's technical reasons for that. Now, Prabhupada mentions the sound of Krishna's flute is always being remembered by the gopis. That sound is so unique and powerful. The gopis cannot think or meditate on anything else. They're always listening in their ear. They're waiting, expecting, when's Krishna going to blow that flute? When is he going? They're always meditating. This is how the gopis are in samadhi. They are always thinking about that Krishna's flute. So Prabhupada said, we can also be like the gopis. How? Because the sound of Krishna's flute is there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we can follow in the gopis' footsteps by always hearing and meditating on Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And if we do that, one day you will hear Krishna's flute. That day is coming. But you have to practice Hare Krishna every day and constantly meditate. So the gopis arrived at the spot, and Krishna, being a jokester, Krishna is a real jokester. When the gopis came, Krishna said, "What are you doing here? Where have you come?" And the gopis were all nicely dressed, cosmetics. They came to dance with Krishna. Krishna said, "Why did you come?" Krishna said, "Oh, you must have wanted to see the beautiful moonlight in the forest. Okay, you saw. Now you should go home." The gopis became very upset. What are you talking about? Just like we sent out an email to invite everyone to the program. But if somebody comes to the door and Hari says, "Why did you come?" The guest would say, "Well, you invited me. What are you talking about?" But Harish would never do that. No, the doors are wide open. But if you were Krishna, you might. But you're not Krishna. We still love you, even though you're not Krishna. So the gopis then had a discussion with Krishna and defeated Krishna in philosophical argument. And Krishna said, "Okay, let's dance." So they began the rasa dance. And Krishna performed a miracle. In the middle, because there were hundreds, if not thousands, of gopis, and Radha and Krishna were in the middle, dancing. Then, surrounding Radha and Krishna, all these thousands and thousands of gopis. So, it's not that they're just going to watch Krishna and Radha dance. No. Krishna expands himself, and so there's one Krishna for every two gopis. Krishna is very, what's the word? Economical. There's so many gopis, but Krishna says, "Well, okay, one me for every two." But don't feel like Krishna's cheating. Although there's one Krishna for every two gopi, each gopi is thinking and experiencing, "Krishna's dancing with me." That's Krishna. That's what makes him God, basically. He can do the impossible. That although there's one Krishna for every two gopis, each girl is thinking, "Krishna is dancing with me alone." That's Krishna. The dancing is going on. They're singing. And Krishna will sing, and the gopis will go higher, and Krishna will go higher. They're dancing cheek to cheek. Very, very beautiful dance. But then, as can be expected, we wouldn't be any different. The gopis are thinking, "Oh my God, we are the most fortunate girls in the universe. We are dancing with Krishna." So Krishna was thinking, "Oh, they're getting a little puffed up, are they? So Krishna says, "I don't like my devotees to get proud." Krishna disappears. But he disappears with Radhaji. Radhaji and Krishna go deep into the forest. But for the other gopis, they're in the middle of dancing, and then no more Krishna. Poof, he disappears. So they become very, just imagine, Say, I always give this example. Say you had the $18 trillion lottery ticket. Okay, you have it. You're driving in your car to the place to reclaim it. The wind comes and takes your ticket out the window. Bye-bye. Ah! You were this close, right? You were thinking of retiring. You were thinking of buying an island. You were thinking of so many things. Bye-bye ticket. So the gopis are dancing with Krishna at the height of ecstasy. There's nothing better. Krishna disappears. The gopis become mad. And so they're wandering through the forest, asking the animals, the trees, the plants, Have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna? Show us where we lost Krishna. Where is he? Krishna, Krishna, looking. They asked Tulsi. They said to Tulsi, you are always around Krishna's neck as a garland. You're always at his feet. Maybe you can tell us where is Krishna. They became so mad, they started to act out the, like you said, the childhood pastimes of Krishna. One of them was the Putana story. They acted out the Putana story. They acted out Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. They were acting out a drama. And what some of the gopis were thinking, I have become Krishna. They became mad. Meanwhile, what's going on with Radharani and Krishna? So Krishna, to please Radharani, he picks some flowers for her. He makes a nice little crown for her. Radharani also starts to think, hey, I'm pretty special. Krishna has left all the other gopis just to be with me. So Krishna detects, oh, even my Radha is getting proud? Not good. So Radharani says to Krishna, oh, Krishna, I'm so tired. If you want me to go anymore, you have to carry me. So Krishna says, okay, just get on my shoulder. I'll carry you. As soon as Radha attempts to get on Krishna's shoulder, he disappears. And Radha immediately realizes, I also have become proud. So she's searching through the forest. Oh, my beloved, where are you? My beloved, please come. I'm sorry. And then she meets up with the other gopis. At the beginning, the other gopis were a little angry, a little jealous that, oh, Krishna took Radha to the forest. You know how girls can be. Okay? So when Krishna went off with Radha, the gopis were a little like, well, she's all that. But then when they met up with Radha and they saw that Krishna left her, then they said, oh, okay, you're one of us, come. So they sat down on the bank of the Yamuna. You've all been to the Yamuna? Tanya is going to go to India, and she is going to visit the Yamuna. That day is coming. So they sat down, and they spread their shawls. And it's the full moon night, and they have satsang. And they each take a turn singing. And that chapter is called Gopi Gita. And each gopi, of course, in the Bhagavatam, there's only 19 verses, but they're each chanting. So each of their songs, each of their verses that they're singing, is such a wonderful presentation of what is called Vipralambha Seva. Lord Chaitanya teaches that Vipralambha Seva is the highest platform of spiritual emotion. Vipralambha Seva means that your heart of hearts is yearning and crying out and calling out for Krishna to please come and be with us. That mood of separation is the highest. According to Lord Chaitanya, it's higher than union. Now, this may be difficult for us to understand, but on the spiritual platform, just like Ram also experienced this when Ravan kidnapped Sita. Ram also was feeling this separation. Where is my Sita? I must go and get her back from that Ravan. So the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna is watching all this. He has kept himself hidden, and he's watching and enjoying all this because he sees how much these gopis love him. It's not that, oh, Krishna left us. Okay, then we'll find somebody else. We don't need Krishna. That we see sometimes in the material world that happens. a girl gets snubbed, okay, I'll show you, man. Right? I'm going to get the quarterback from the high school team. So, but the Gopis didn't do that. They kept calling out to Krishna to come, and crying out. So there's one of those 19 verses that is very, very special. So I like to chant that verse, quickly explain it, and then we'll have arti. So everyone say, Hari Bol. So this verse is so powerful. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavirbir iditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimad atatam bhuvi grinanti ye burida jana tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavirbiriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam srimad atatam bhuvi grinanti ye burida jana. One more time, everybody. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavirbiriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam srimad atatam bhuvi grinanti ye burida jana. Please repeat. My Lord, the nectar of your words and descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. So this first sentence is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. That, and you were saying in your prayer for the world on New Year's Day, so many people are suffering. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone is suffering. Even those who are very, very materially well off, they're also suffering in a different way. Dare I say it, you might be Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world. He is also suffering in his own way. Everybody's suffering. That's the nature of this material world. So this is for everybody. So the nectar of your words, the gopis are saying, Krishna's words are nectar, amritam. Anyone who chants and studies Bhagavad Gita will immediately corroborate this. Yes, Bhagavad Gita is amritam, deathless nectar. This always is reedified with me every year when I do that Bhagavad Gita recitation. Every year I do that, the 700 shlokas recitation of Bhagavad. And after that, it's like I'm a changed person. And the ecstasy lasts a good long week afterwards. So Krishna's message of Bhagavad Gita is nectar. And description of your activities, that's the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially 10th canto. Prabhupada has translated and made a separate book just on the 10th canto called Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of the first books I came in contact with, that book convinced me to give my life to Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. One night, I was very, very disturbed. And I said, give me that. I had gotten that book, but I had never read it. So it was 12 midnight. I sat down. I read chapter 1, chapter 2. By the time I read chapter 6, which is what you said, Putana, right? After I read chapter 6, I said, that's it. I closed the book. I said, I'm going to join Prabhupada's movement. That book is so powerful. So what the gopis are saying here, description of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in the material world. And that's why Srila Prabhupada made the distribution of these books his foremost instruction and duty for his disciples. Distribute books, because he knows this verse, that this the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, this will give solace to the suffering people of the material world. Now we go to the next. Please repeat. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities. And they eradicate all sinful reactions. So this corroborates what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 18 when he says that anyone who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, no one is more dearer to me than that person. So if in your day-to-day activities you're able to tell someone something about Bhagavad Gita or something about Krishna, or even if you just say to someone, Hari Bol, you become most dear to Krishna. Just do that. I tell the story all the time. When I used to work in an office in Westwood, I'd pick up the phone, Hari Bol. They thought I was saying hello. They'd go, what? Hari Bol. They thought I was saying hello, but I was going, Hari Bol. So throughout the day, if at any time you can say something from Bhagavad Gita or just say Hare Krishna or Hari Bol or Govinda Bol or Radhe Bol, something, you become very dear to Krishna. And who doesn't want to become dear to Krishna? Nobody in this house doesn't want to. Yes. So the gopis here, and you, eradicates all sinful reactions. Ah, that's liberation. When all your sinful reactions, you're liberated. Dr. Martin Luther King, he was saying, I'm free at last. No, you're not. You're still under the control of the modes of material nature. But if he had understood this verse, then he could say, I'm free at last, Hari Bol. Then he could say. This is how to become free. Okay, let's do the next. Please repeat. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. So hopefully the people out there in the foyer, I hope you heard. You guys definitely heard. That's why you came here. That's the benefit, the payoff of why you came here on New Year's Day. You drove so many miles, right? And if you are hearing the chanting, if you were hearing the narration, to the degree that you were absorbed, to the degree that you were hearing, you are getting all good fortune. So this, today, right now, this was Happy New Year. Not the drinking. That's not Happy New Year. That's Happy Bad Year. Go to jail year. Oh, I love those commercials. Sir, have you been drinking? And they open the car door and the whole thing comes out. I love it. Those are great commercials. So anyone who is hearing this kata tonight and hearing the chanting, you still have one more chance. We're going to have the kirtan. So at least hear the kirtan. Get absorbed. Because it's for your benefit. A lot of people misunderstand. They see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender to me. And they think, oh, Krishna's on an ego trip. He wants everyone to bow down to him. No. When Krishna says, surrender to me, it's for our benefit. As I've said many times, whether we surrender to Krishna or not doesn't matter. Krishna has Radharani. He's totally taken care of. When Krishna says, surrender to me, it's for our benefit. Just like you parents, you know this. When you tell your children to do certain things, it's not for you, it's for them. Am I right, parents? Right? What do you get out of it? But you are concerned for your children that they do the right thing. So you tell them, don't do this, do this. Study in school. Don't fool around. Don't do drugs. And the kid is saying, well, get off my case, man. You know, don't do this. Don't they? They don't appreciate that it's for their benefit. But you know. You know. So Krishna is the same way. When Krishna says, surrender to me, it's for our benefit. Not that Krishna is on some egomaniac trip. No. Okay, we still have two more sentences. Please repeat. Though these narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Shakti, the spiritual Shakti. So, yes, this is another item of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's for the whole world. It's for America. It's for South America. It is for India. As I said, in South Africa, I was there. And you will be surprised. So many Indian people in South Africa. So many. And you believe it or not, we did on Janmashtami. I was there in South Africa on Janmashtami day. So the devotees, they took me and we did Nagar Sankirtan, Harinam. And when we went to the shopping area and outside the mall, there were local black African ladies with baskets of vegetables. But as soon as they heard the drums and the cartels, they all started dancing. And when they got close to us, we got close, they started chanting Hare Krishna. I was like, wow. This is amazing. And in the college, when we went to the college, right, I told you there was Indian students and African students. No offense, the African students chanted better than the Indians. They had more energy. They were more fired up. And they were getting down with, you know, they danced there. African, they really got, they love that mridanga. When they hear that mridanga, they just, they're like the gopis. They go wild. They were really into it. They were fired up. That kirtan is so potent, so powerful. So it's filled with spiritual power. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, filled with spiritual power. So don't doubt. Don't hesitate. Give it. You have the greatest gift that you can give anyone. You all do. Because you know Bhagavad Gita. You should know Srimad Bhagavatam. Now give it. You have the greatest jewel. Give it out. Now here's the secret. In the material world, right? Say Harish. Harish has, let's say he has a account and he wants to give charity, right? So if Harish gives 100 here, 100 there, 100. After some time, the account goes down, right? It's just the way it works. But in spiritual, if you give out your cachet, if you give out your jewels, at the end of the day, your account increases. Pretty. Why do you think I do what I'm doing, kids? I know this. I'm doing this not because I'm wonderful. It's because I am selfish. And I know that the more I do this, my account goes up. That's why I do it. Therefore, like the commercial says for Nike, just do it. Give out your jewels. Tell them about Radha Krishna. Tell them, hey, Hari Bol. What? Yeah, Hari Bol. Be proud. Be strong. Nothing's going to happen. If I have to go out shopping and I have to deal, I might say to them, Hare Krishna. If I have to buy something, if I have to go to like Staples, I'll tell them. Like I had to take my computer in. I have one friend at Staples. So he was working on my computer, and if you see my screen, it's a picture of Prabhupada chanting. So he was saying, who's that? I said, ah. So I had it, because he was working on my computer for some time. So I just said, oh, you want to know who that is? And so I started to tell him, who is that person? And then we had to, he couldn't solve the problem. So he had to call Dell Computer. And guess where the phone call wound up? India! And so the guy who's, I forget his name, Rajesh, is working in India on my computer, right? And he's going in my computer and he sees all, I have hundreds of pictures of Krishna in my computer. See how, what, you just have to let it go. Let Krishna, as, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Nimitta matram bhava savya sachin, become my instrument. Prabhupada, that was his mood when he came to America. When Prabhupada arrived, he wrote a poem. He said, my Lord, if you have brought me here, then I'm your puppet. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. That's what it means to be an instrument. Like when I play the cartels or I play guitar, the cartels and the guitar don't fight me. I tell the guitar, play this note, I play the cartels. The cartel just goes along. It would be pretty far out if the cartel was independent and I tried to play the beat and the cartel said no. So I'd be trying to do this and the cartel would be going, say, hey, no, because the cartel is an instrument. So we should voluntarily be like Krishna's instrument. And what does Krishna want? Krishna just wants us to give this jewel of love of God to everyone. This is the greatest jewel, love of God. Give it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Last sentence, it all ties in. Please repeat. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. So the gopis here are saying, as I've been saying, that if you become a preacher, if you tell others, you give others Krishna, you are better than the Red Cross. Better than, like, the American government now is bailing out everybody except you, right? Right? You are better because you, as the gopis, then who's going to argue with the gopis? I'm not. The gopis are saying those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most beneficent welfare workers. For me, that's my Srila Prabhupada. Without my Srila Prabhupada, what would I know? I would not know you. I would not be here. I would not know her. As she has told me many times, if you weren't a devotee, I would have nothing to do with you. Is that still true? Is that still true? Well, so... Right. So, she always has to be funny, you know? So, this is how to become the most munificent, how to become the most noticed by Krishna. As he says, no one is more. Just give your jewels of knowledge about Krishna to whoever you meet, anyone and everyone, and you will see how you become blessed blessed and more blessed in your life. Everyone, raise your hand now. I'm going to give several blessings before the night's over. Here's your first blessing. Hey, they're holding up their hands outside too. I guess they're hearing. I'm now going to bless you. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless everyone here in this Kator Pal house today on January 1st, 2009. And remove all the obstacles in their lives that prevents them from being totally peaceful and happy. My Lord, bless them and help them to realize love of God in their hearts and make them happy and peaceful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All right, let us all rise. We'll have ecstatic arti and kirtan. Abhijit, are you prepared to lead an ecstatic kirtan?